The knowledge of all things is possible. Leonardo da Vinci.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Samantha Lee Wright. You are listening to the world's number one essential oil podcast. And here's where we dive into all things health, wellness, and essential oils. Today's episode is a great combination of many different topics. We have returning a guest, David Krantz, who is a world expert on epigenetics and CBD, and he knows a ton about essential oils. So I had him on the show to talk about the intersection of all of those things, essential oils, CBD, and epigenetics. Now, this is the part of the show where I normally share my favorite oil from the past week, but in light of today's topic all about CBD, I want to share an old story. This was from 2019 when I was actually at the Young Living Convention, so over a year ago. In Salt Lake City, the little rentable scooters had really just hit the city. And so I was just scooting around all over the place, having so much fun, definitely using a lot of core ab muscles that I wasn't used to. And at the same time, the most vicious period cramps hit me. So I'm walking around, I'm scooting around, and I was in so much pain. I could like hardly make it to any of the talks. So someone, my goodness, this angel lent me her CBD muscle rub that Young Living makes in partnership with Nature's Ultra, which is the company that runs the CBD aspect of their products. It was the 300 milligram Nature's Ultra muscle rub, and I rubbed it on my lower abdomen and my stomach and found immediate relief, and it saved my entire trip to convention. I was so grateful. The base is made up of beeswax, shea butter, safflower, and jojoba oil. So really creamy, luxurious, and then it has the 300 milligrams of CBD in it, and then it also has essential oils like camphor bark, peppermint, clove. It's got a little wormwood in it, some vitamin E in it, wintergreen, heliochrysum, arnica flower, so all sorts of wonderful herbs and tools that are built to help your muscles. So I swear by this stuff, it's a miracle cure for me. So if you're needing a real good go-to muscle rub, you have to try out the Nature's Ultra CBD muscle rub, which you can buy through Young Living. So you used to have to make a separate account to buy any of the CBD products, but now all Young Living members who have a Young Living account can now finally buy those CBD products right in their virtual office, which is great. Now let's pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. This recipe comes from Lauren Spencer, who lives in Sheffield, England, and the recipe is called Orange Sleepy Balls. I love the name of this recipe. To make the orange sleepy balls, take 1 cup of ground almonds, 1/4 cup chopped almonds, 1/2 cup almond butter, and 1/4 cup cacao powder, 6 medjool dates, and then 2 tablespoons orange essential oil and 1 tablespoon coconut oil. Combine all those ingredients into balls and place in the fridge until settled. That sounds delicious. Sounds like it would be a power punch of energy. So thank you for sharing that recipe with us, Lauren Spencer. You can share your recipe with us by emailing it to DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com. And when you do, you get automatically entered to win our monthly giveaway, where you could win a bottle of orange essential oil and our amazing ebook chock full of our favorite essential oil recipes.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of a life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
Hey everyone, I am here with David Krantz. David, thank you so much for being with us here today. It's good to have you back on the show.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be back. Really appreciate you reaching out and setting this up.
Yeah, well, for those who don't know you, you've been on the show before, but you are a sought-after certified epigenetic coach. The last time you were on the podcast, we talked specifically about epigenetics. You specialize in personalized nutrition, genetic testing, and optimal health. You are the 2019 International Forum on Healthcare Advancement Top 100 Health Innovator nominee, and you're best known for creating the Aperon Genomics Endocannabinoid Panel. So you know a lot about the endocannabinoid system, CBD, epigenetics, all these sort of geeky science things that I love to just like dive down deep into, especially when we center that around essential oils, because there's so much there. So I'm excited and let's dive in. Last time you talked about your work as a certified epigenetic coach, can you briefly share your journey, a little bit of background for those that maybe missed that episode and want to know a little more about who you are and how you got here?
Yeah, absolutely. So I, like a lot of people who find themselves in the healing world, had to really heal myself and figure out my own stuff first. And that's really what led me into this path. And my background is actually in music and electronic music production, performance. And in my early 20s, I was a touring musician, and my lifestyle and all the stressors and not taking care of my body really just caused my health to crash. And I started having these weird symptoms. I was passing out randomly, which was not fun, like just waking up and realizing that I was just unconscious for a little bit. And I saw a number of kind of mainstream doctors, and they're basically like, well, you're like a healthy young guy in his 20s. Like, you're not going to die of a heart attack. We can tell you that. You're not going to, you know, you don't have diabetes. We can tell you that.
Right.
And beyond that, there just wasn't a lot of actual useful, actionable information. And so it really forced me to kind of do my own research and really figure out what was going on. I'd been listening to this podcast with this guy, Dr. Dan Stickler, who is a world-renowned expert in genetics and epigenetics. And I'd been listening to all of his podcast episodes that he had out. And there wasn't anyone really talking about this stuff from this angle. And I took a walk on my lunch break one day at work and realized the logo of this podcast that I've been listening to was literally on the building next door.
Whoa.
Like 100 yards from where I was working. And this doctor had an office next door to me that I didn't know about.
So, whoa, what a wild story.
Right. And so I immediately booked a time, just, I wanted blood work done with them. I wanted to work with them. And it turned out they're actually looking to hire someone with an audio background to help them develop meditation programs and stress relief programs for this experimental sound chamber that they had built in this clinic. And it turned out I had the perfect background.
Yeah.
And, you know, immediately went out and started working with them. And right around the same time, this guy, Dr. Dan Stickler, who's he's a consultant to Google, he lectures at Stanford, he started a training program for teaching genetics, teaching epigenetics. And I happened to be in the right place at the right time, basically. And he was like, hey, you should, you know, be a beta tester for this program. Like, you kind of have a basis for it. Let me kind of pass this knowledge on to you. And I actually said no at first. I was still in the I'm a musician identity kind of mindset. And sure enough, I actually ended up being the first coach that he trained. He's trained about 300 or 400 worldwide now. And so that's really kind of what launched me into what I'm doing now. And since then, I've gone on to develop a genetic test for endocannabinoid function, like you mentioned, with Dr. Stickler. And so it's really been a radical 180 kind of journey for me in terms of going from someone who just, you know, really needed help to kind of being on the other side of the coin here.
Helping other people. Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's great. What a journey. Thanks for giving us some of those details there. So we're here to talk mainly about CBD. CBD is such a hot topic. It has been for a while. It's not going anywhere. It's, you know, it's here to stay. And so many people have questions around, what is it exactly? Is it safe? How do I use it? How do I start? I mean, so many questions. So what's a good place for someone to start? I mean, what are the most important things to know about CBD?
Sure. So I think probably the most important thing for people to know is just what a cannabinoid is, a cannabinoid. These are molecules that the cannabis plant creates, but these are also molecules our body creates on our own naturally. And they serve a regulatory function in the body. And when I say that, I really mean a very broad balancing function in the body. There's not a system in the body. I'm talking about the nervous system, the musculoskeletal system. All of the systems in the body are tied into the endocannabinoid system. There are receptors on every single cell type that are sensitive to cannabinoids, whether they're our own or they come from the plant. So You know, CBD is a non-psychoactive cannabinoid. So THC, what most people think of as, you know, as being the main ingredient in cannabis, you know, that's what gets you high. That's what activates what they call cannabinoid 1 receptors. And that's responsible for the feeling of being high. CBD doesn't do that. CBD doesn't have much of a psychoactive effect. It really is very, very minimal in terms of the actual subjective effects you get from it. Mm-hmm. What CBD tends to do is it's a little bit more indirect than, say, THC, which like comes in and just directly activates these receptors, gets you high, has a very strong action. CBD actually doesn't even interact much with the cannabinoid receptors on your cells much at all. It's very weak in terms of how it interacts with it. But what does is it helps your body create more of its own endocannabinoids. It's one of the main things that it does. So it actually prevents the breakdown of them. So you can kind of carry higher levels of these regulatory molecules the body makes. And so when we think about, you know, how you might be thrown off balance potentially by THC, and for some people it balances them well, the potential for CBD to do that is a lot lower because of that kind of gentle action where it's just kind of naturally increasing your body's own cannabinoid levels as opposed to kind of acting as this external force like THC does. So, you know, I would say that probably the most important thing for people to know is that compared to THC, CBD really has a much, I would just say gentler activity in the body, and there's less chance for kind of adverse effects and issues that, you know, people can have with THC.
Yeah. And as far as the benefits of CBD and using CBD, there's all sorts of stories and testimonials out. What have you seen with your clients or yourself as being some of the most common benefits of regularly using CBD, which I assume it's something you need to do regularly to really get the full benefit from? Is that right?
For the most part, mm-hmm. I think the most common thing that I see is people saying it has a stress relieving or relaxation effect for them. I'd say that's kind of across the board, one of the more common things. And, you know, you mentioned like, yes, there's so many things that people claim CBD can be good for. It's kind of almost comical. It's like almost to the point of absurdity. It's like you can throw a dart, you know, board of symptoms, and someone out there has used CBD to successfully treat them. And I want to kind of come back to what I was saying about cannabinoid receptors being present on every cell in the body. You know, this is the reason why it can have such a broad range of action, is because for some people, they might have a kind of out of balance cannabinoid system in a certain part of their body or in a certain system of their body. And that might be very different from someone else who might have that imbalance somewhere else in the body. So for example, like one person might have an imbalance with some of the endocannabinoid signaling in their gut lining, and that might contribute to IBS or other kind of gut issues. And then for someone else, that imbalance might manifest more in, say, the nerves in their musculoskeletal system, and they might have more of a pain relief response. And so you can think of CBD kind of as an adaptogen in a way. I mean, you know, it's not a true adaptogen, but the way that it works in certain people like that, when there's a system that's out of balance, CBD is pretty good at kind of going to where it's needed. In a way, you know, it kind of globally raises these endocannabinoid levels, and then that tends to offset some of the symptoms when there's something out of balance. So in terms of thinking about why it can be so good for so many different things, for so many different people, that's really the reason, is just these receptors and signaling dynamics are so ubiquitous and so widespread throughout the body that it can just act as this sort of balancing agent.
So when you think of CBD and you think of all the clients you've worked with that have taken it, or yourself, what's sort of the biggest like aha moment or success story that you could think of?
So I've had a couple clients that have had tremendous success with sleep, but that's not the case for everyone. I've had other clients that it will keep them up at night, right? So it can go either way. But I'll say in terms of The other big thing that I've, and this is just my client base, you know, everyone kind of has a different group of people they work with. I tend to work with like generally healthy people who are trying to make the next level up kind of changes. And so one of the big things for me was a client that had been using cannabis for a while and really wanted to change his cannabis habit. And we looked at his genetics and, you know, this is another thing for your listeners is that the way I work with people is I tend to like to look at, you know, how people's underlying genetics are wired. And then we make informed decisions based on that. We looked at his genetics and he had like every single genetic variant that was correlated with an underactive endocannabinoid system. And we really came to this conclusion that, you know, his use of cannabis was very much to balance that out. It was kind of activating the system. And so we slowly just replaced THC with CBD and it was like, no problem. He was like, I have no attraction to using THC anymore. It's like the CBD actually just made this change for me. You know, I'll say the other thing is just anxiety, generalized anxiety. I have three or four clients that I'm thinking of right now that either had used something like benzodiazepines in the past or were trying to manage it with other strategies. And when they added CBD in, it kind of acted as that sort of magical missing piece.
Yeah. You know?
So kind of all across the board.
Totally. So when it comes to CBD and essential oils, there's a lot of people out there that like to put them in the same category. I think that's because they both come from plants, maybe. But beyond that, I mean, what are the overlaps and what have you come across in your research that might point to how essential oils can benefit CBD and vice versa? Like how can they synergistically work together to support each other?
Yeah. So this is what I'm really personally excited about. And I think one of the things that we're going to continue just to gain knowledge about in the future. And yeah, it's interesting that people do put them in the same category. I feel like actually some deeper reasons why that makes sense that some people who are doing that might not really be aware of. Mm. And this comes back to when we talk about, say, strains of cannabis, or we talk about different formulations, what we're talking about is these blends of cannabinoids. So things like THC, CBD, but there's also many others, CBN, CBG, put three letters together, you end up with a cannabinoid. There's a lot of them. There's a lot that we don't know what they truly do yet. I mean, there's only a handful that we really have good research on. And right. So this is why the field of cannabinoids is so exciting, because over the next 5, 10, 20, 50 years, we're going to really articulate the function of all these other cannabinoids. But these different strains, different formulations are combinations of cannabinoids and terpenes. And terpenes are these aromatic compounds that are found in essential oils. You know, this is what gives many of the essential oils their flavor, their smell, their specific action on the body. But the cannabis plant also produces a really wide array of terpenes. It's kind of its superpower in a way, in that it can mimic like pretty much every terpene in the plant kingdom. And terpenes are what, say, for example, give oranges their orange flavor, or lemons their lemon flavor, or a pine tree the smell of pine. These are what we associate with smells. These are a specific class of chemical compounds. And so when you're talking about the chemical makeup of an essential oil, like, for example, clove is about 30 or 40% a terpene called beta-carophyllene. Or carophyllene. And we'll talk a little bit more about this one. So a large percentage of the makeup of essential oils are these terpenes. And turns out that the cannabis plant also makes them. And this is what contributes to the different effects of different strains and different formulations. So you've got the combination of the cannabinoids that the plants make and also the terpene. And you kind of combine these things together to get strains that, say, might have more of an energizing effect or more of a pain relieving effect or more of a anxiety relieving effect. And what's really exciting to me is because, you know, essential oils also contain these terpenes, you can potentially use them to integrate with and modify some of the response that you can get from these blends of cannabinoids, because you're kind of just going in and say modifying the bouquet that the cannabis plant would be creating, and you can sort of selectively choose how you might change that bouquet to suit your needs, which is what a lot of your listeners are probably already doing with their essential oil blends. But when you add the cannabinoids in there, they kind of mesh naturally with the terpenes too.
I imagine a lot of this is a bit instinctual for people, you know, because they know their bodies best. And if they've been using essential oils for a while, they get to know them. They know that, you know, lavender helps me sleep, or it doesn't because it acts differently in everyone, or citrus oils make me happy, or these oils feel really good on my muscles. So I feel like a lot of it's probably instinctual combining the two, but can you share a few examples or maybe some starting pointers for people?
I mean, it's exactly like you said, it's like native qualities of those oils. Like for example, lavender has linalool in it. Linalool is the terpene that gives that kind of relaxing, sleep-inducing, calming effect. And similarly, strains of cannabis that have higher amounts of linalool are also known to be kind of relaxing and helpful for sleep. And so you could potentially take CBD if you're trying to promote sleep and add a little bit of lavender into it, either through a diffuser or, you know, if you have a food quality, food grade blend that you can dilute enough, you know, maybe using it in an oral form if it makes sense and is safe. And so something like linalool would work great for like more of a daytime energizing blend. The citruses are great. Something like rosemary, something that has that uplifting, activating effect. But when you combine it with the cannabinoids, like if you combine it with CBD, you're adding another dimension of that kind of deeper balancing regulatory action in the body. So again, like you said, like everyone's wired a little bit differently and people are going to respond differently. But this is one of those things where if you're already into essential oils and you are creating your own blends and you have a good feel for how they interact with you, it's an interesting thing to experiment with to say, all right, what happens if I add a little bit of CBD into that blend? Does this change it? Does it potentiate it? Does it, you know, give me some effects that I want? And I'll say that people that are into essential oils already have a really good foundational platform for understanding how to kind of shift and manipulate CBD blends in a very similar way.
So one thing I picked up on is that there's a lot of different CBD blends out there and strains and whatnot. I mean, usually when I look at CBD on the market, it's just CBD. It doesn't really go into much more detail than that. You know, how crucial is it that you understand where your CBD is coming from and the species and the subspecies and the different chemical balances and all that?
Yeah, good question. So there is a really wide variability of CBD product quality on the market. A lot of products are not exactly what they say they are in terms of dosage. So anyone who is wanting to buy CBD, make sure that the company that you are buying from has a certificate of analysis or COA on their different batches. It's not enough just to say, okay, you know, we'll show you the COA from a batch we did 2 years ago. You really want them to be able to say, on this batch that we're sending you now, here's a certificate of analysis telling you what percentage of this is CBD, what percentage of this is other terpenes. And you really want that breakdown to really prove that what the product is, you know, it is what they say it is. You also want to look for CBD isolate versus whole plant extract, or what they call full spectrum or broad spectrum. And the reason for this is that essential oil users will understand this really easily, is there's something that they call the entourage effect with cannabinoids. And this is the idea that they function better together. There's natural synergy between multiple cannabinoids and multiple terpenes. The terpenes tend to make them work better. The multiple cannabinoids make it so that you don't have to be so precise with the dosage. You can be a little bit like single cannabinoids, like if you extract them and that's all it is, the dosage range becomes very, very tight. You have to get it very precise. And for whatever reason, when there's multiple ones together, you have a much wider range of efficacy for that dose.
It's like the buddy system. They just balance each other out.
Exactly. Yeah. So what you want to make sure is you're getting a broad or full spectrum product and not a CBD isolate product. A lot of the products on the market are cheap CBD isolate products that really are not going to give you that full range of other minor cannabinoids that, even if they're in very, very small concentrations, they still contribute to CBD acting more functionally. And also, quick kind of point of difference between full spectrum and broad spectrum. The difference will be that the full spectrum contains 0.3% or less of THC, and then the broad spectrum has the THC totally removed out of it.
Okay.
And if you find a reputable brand, I can make a good recommendation. I'm advisory board of a company I actually really trust with this, because there's not a lot of ones doing products that aren't heat treated to get the THC out. Those products are good as long as they're not heat treated and damaged in terms of the way they extract the THC. So both are pretty good, but you just want to make sure that if you're getting something with zero THC in it, it's had a proper extraction process that doesn't use solvents.
Okay, that's super important to know. One of the biggest fears I see from people is if they work, you know, at a hospital or something where they may have to get drug screened a lot, they are told that they can't use CBD because it could show up positive on a THC screening. How can people do that safely and keep their jobs if they get a drug screen?
So I would say for anyone who's concerned about that, the chances of it showing up on a drug test are pretty small, but they exist enough to say, you know, if you are really concerned, go ahead and use a broad spectrum and not a full spectrum product, which has the THC removed. And I can make we can leave a link in the show notes to a good brand for that.
Okay. So the difference between a broad spectrum CBD and a full spectrum CBD is the full spectrum includes some of the THC and the broad spectrum doesn't. Is that
right? They've taken that tiny little percentage out just to be completely safe. And so without that, there's no chance of failing.
Okay. And if you are to go for that broad spectrum without the THC, you just want to make sure that you're getting it from a company that's doing that in a way that's not damaging the other therapeutic properties.
Exactly.
Okay. That all makes sense. So David, I want to talk a little bit about Copaiba essential oil and CBD, because we were talking a little bit of how people like to lump essential oils and CBD together, but for some reason they especially like to do that with Copaiba. So what's that about?
Yeah, that's interesting. So Copaiba is very high in that terpene I was mentioning, beta-carophyllene or beta-carophyllene. And that seems to have some really nice natural synergistic properties with CBD, especially around lowering inflammation, lowering pain response. And also, interestingly, it's also really good for if you do smoke too much THC and you have like cannabis-induced anxiety or paranoia, kind of like that bad trip thing, beta-carophyllene tends to reverse that really fast.
Well, so, I've never heard that. That is really cool.
Yeah. So you can use the Copaiba or black pepper. Black pepper is kind of the traditional thing that people will say, yeah, go smell some black peppers if you're too high.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really the beta-carophyllene, so you can use clove or Copaiba. But the cool thing about that terpene is that it's the only one that directly activates what they call cannabinoid 2 receptors. And so these are cannabinoid receptors that are more found in the immune system and peripheral organs in the body. So a lot of things to do with pain response. And so the terpenes that are found in Copaiba, even without the CBD, are acting on the endocannabinoid system directly. And so when you add the CBD in, there's an even deeper synergy in terms of the way that it interacts with the endocannabinoid system. So it doesn't surprise me that people are kind of naturally lumping those two together.
Not all essential oils act on the endocannabinoid system, like Copaiba or like CBD. They do other things and act on other systems, but that's sort of what makes that Copaiba and the CBD sort of separate in a different category, is that direct action on the endocannabinoid system.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a much more direct kind of influence.
Right. It's interesting that we're so familiar with so many of the other systems in the body, like our digestive system or the respiratory system. But no one really talks about the endocannabinoid system. We don't grow up learning about it. And I think that's part of the resistance a lot of people have with maybe using CBDs. They just don't understand what that system even is. They're like, well, I didn't even know it exists. So it must not be that important. You know, why is that? Why is this sort of like a new term that's coming up? And do you agree that that's maybe the reason some people are resistant?
Yeah. And it's not anyone's fault. The endocannabinoid system itself was really only discovered and scientifically described about 30 years ago.
That's like yesterday in science terms. Yeah.
Right. So if you think about when we first discovered the serotonin system in the body, this was in the 1920s. So when we think about how much, you know, our understanding of what serotonin does and, you know, even just the basic idea that, oh, it's like the happy chemical or it influences this, which is way oversimplified, but people know what serotonin is. They get that it's involved in mood and appetite and all these other things. The endocannabinoid system is so much newer. It's not even really, it's only taught in about 15% of medical schools.
Right? Wow.
Despite it being a super underlying system to all the systems you just mentioned, it just hasn't caught up yet.
Yeah.
In terms of sign of medical understanding and then kind of public understanding. And so right now it's kind of up to everyone to educate themselves on it and make up for the fact that we only discovered it recently. But, you know, fortunately, we're not in the 20s where you'd have to wait for, you know, scientific journal publications and ivory towers to like be disseminated 50 years later. We have the internet and we can actually see, you know, all this stuff kind of happening in real time.
That's kind of cool.
So
yeah. So for the visual learners out there that are maybe trying to envision the endocannabinoid system and what does it look like? I mean, is it even describable?
You could imagine it very much like a lot of the other lock and key type receptors, like the idea that neurotransmitters fit into their correlating receptors, right? So you have dopamine receptors, you have acetylcholine receptors, you have serotonin receptors, and they kind of activate nerves, they activate neurons in the brain, they send information in the body. And you can imagine the endocannabinoid system kind of similarly, except you almost want to imagine it like another layer on top of those other systems where like dopamine receptors have endocannabinoid receptors embedded within them that actually will turn up or down their function.
Yeah.
So you can almost think of it as like, what would be a good example? It's like you know how in your car radio has a volume, but it also has bass and treble. It's like the system itself is the volume, but then the endocannabinoid system kind of tweaks it and says, yeah, we're going to add a little bit more bass to that dopamine firing right there. We're going to take a little treble off and change the subtlety of it.
And it's interesting that, like you mentioned, the serotonin receptors and how that was sort of a new found way that the body functions, and people kind of became familiar with, you know, oh, well, maybe if I'm depressed, maybe that's a sign that my serotonin levels might be off, right? So are there any kind of similar correlates that you could think of for the endocannabinoid system where someone could say like, well, XYZ is happening, maybe I should, you know, play around with my endocannabinoid system and see if it helps?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a pretty wide array of different symptoms and conditions that are associated with either what they call, well, really what they refer to as endocannabinoid balance theory, which can, you know, some people might have excess and some people might not have enough endocannabinoid activity. And so low activity is associated with things like chronic pain, migraine, fibromyalgia, irritable bowel syndrome, depression. And it's not necessarily a cause of something like PTSD, but in PTSD and other trauma, endocannabinoid levels tend to be lower. And so that can be one of the reasons why you hear veterans treating their PTSD with cannabis successfully. And so there's a pretty, you know, wide range of things that's like maybe 10% of the list of things that have been studied.
Yeah.
But, and then on the flip side, like excess endocannabinoid levels are actually associated with obesity, interestingly enough. And if you think about what the munchies are, it's like kind of chronic excess hunger and all that. So there's actually some correlation between that. And so, yeah, if you are experiencing anything on that list, I just kind of rambled off, it's probably worth considering, you know, experimenting with some CBD, or, you know, I do have some testing options as well that can a little bit more precisely pinpoint if you're someone that's likely to have lower or higher endocannabinoid levels.
Yeah. Those sort of testing are so reassuring, you know, to be able to see like, oh, well, maybe this is one of those answers. Maybe this is a piece of that puzzle as to why my body is doing these things. You know, there's nothing more frustrating than the feeling that your body is betraying itself, that it's just, it's not acting the way that it should. And sometimes those simple tests that can give you an answer to say, well, look, like this is, you know, where most people lay at and here's where you are. And like, this is why this might be happening. So that's really cool. Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about those like first steps of getting started for people who have never used CBD before. Explain how dosing works. I mean, most people are going to be kind of self-medicating, if you could call it in a way, when using CBD. So what should they know about the different doses that are out there and how to decode all that information easily?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I think most people, there's all kinds of different routes of delivery in terms of things like tinctures and oils versus vaped CBD, inhaled CBD, capsules, transdermal patches. There's all kinds of different options. In terms of ease, probably going with a tincture is probably the easiest way to go. You know, that's going to be subject to some difference in, say, how some people are more sensitive to it and some people are less sensitive to it. There's like less difference in that with the inhaled forms, but probably for people just getting started, getting a high quality tincture, starting with, you know, 5 to 10 milligrams, which is a pretty low dose, is probably a good safe place to start and just kind of working your way up. And it really depends on what your goals are with it. You know, for some things, like say for like acute anxiety, they've studied doses up to 300 milligrams, which is a pretty high dose. You know, you'd have to really invest a decent amount into your CBD habit to do 300 milligrams a day. But, you know, it is worth experimenting with those different levels and really trying to at least give yourself a couple weeks of regular use in order to see results, because there is some need for CBD to kind of shift the underlying levels of your own endocannabinoids, like we were talking about. And that doesn't happen immediately.
Right.
It takes a little bit of time for that to happen. And so time of day is also important. If you are, you know, using it in the morning versus using it in the evening, using multiple times per day, experimenting with that is also pretty important, especially if you're someone that might be more prone to the activating effects from CBD. Probably not using it in the evening is a good idea. And it just takes a little bit of time to understand, like anything else, how it's going to interact with your body. So starting with a low dose. And then I will say that there are some people out there, and this gets into the genetics, that metabolize CBD very rapidly and actually break it down much more thoroughly than other people. So for some people, CBD could be useful, but you also may not be using enough with the lower 5, 10, 20 milligram doses. And that's one of those things that gets a little bit more advanced in terms of how to figure that out. But I have had some success in terms of working with people who, say, tried CBD once and didn't get much from it. And then we found out they were an ultra fast metabolizer of it. And then realized, oh, well, we just need to like triple the dose. And all of a sudden there's nerve pain relief from there, you know? So,
yeah. So it takes some troubleshooting for sure. And it's not a quick result. So it does take some patience. You've got to, you know, stick with it, be willing to experiment a bit. And that's what I'm always encouraging people to do with things like essential oils too, or even supplements, or even new foods that you're trying. You know, give it time. These things aren't magic bullets. They don't work overnight. So you have to be willing to A, be patient, and B, educate yourself a little bit, right? There's a lot to it. It's not rocket science. It's not impossible to learn it, but it does take you taking responsibility to learn those things, like what is a good dose to start at for me, and maybe journaling, what time of day did you take it and what kind of results you had. You know, these are all things that I'm always encouraging people to take that health into their own hands approach. For those who might be struggling with some of those more long-term issues where they could benefit from it every day, you know, whether it's maybe for arthritis relief, if that's working for them, or depression or sleep, is it the kind of thing that if they're on it for long enough that it could help correct those problems that are in their endocannabinoid systems? Or is it one of those things they're going to have to always be supplementing?
You know, that's a good question. And I don't think there's enough long-term data yet to really know how that pans out for people. I would imagine that in some cases, it could correct something. And then in other cases, it might be something that you need to continue with.
Totally. And then last question is, are there any risks or dangers that we should be aware of? You know, like, I would assume you'd want to keep it out of reach of children, but let's say your 4-year-old somehow gets into it and drinks like a whole bottle of, you know, whatever. I mean, what's going to happen?
Probably not much. I will say the one thing you do want to be aware of is that if you're taking any prescription medications that have the grapefruit juice warning on them, anything that says don't drink grapefruit juice while like around taking this medication, because grapefruit juice will interact with it and change the dosage of it. CBD can also interact with those medications, especially in higher doses. So if you're taking something that's like the right dosage for you and you take, you know, 50 or 100 milligrams of CBD right before you take that, all of a sudden that dosage might become too high of a dosage. So anything, if you're on any prescription medications, definitely talk to your doctor about how to use CBD properly and correctly. And, you know, I would say that's probably the main concern with it in terms of side effects, pretty little risk. Some people can be prone to lower blood pressure with it, but it's pretty rare.
Okay. And how about for pregnancy? Any issues there?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, I will say that there's not a lot of like long-term studies on what CBD does in pregnancy. It doesn't seem like there's any immediate harm, but like anything, you know, it often takes many years to really articulate and define like what is the effect of doing something in pregnancy, you know, 20, 30 years later on kids. So
very hard to do studies right now, on pregnant people, that's for sure.
Right. To my knowledge, there's no immediate risks or anything that would say like, you know, don't do it. But I also have to say, I don't think there's enough like data to say we know that this effect and this effect are going to happen.
Right. Exactly. It's a newer science for sure. Well, David, this has been great. I feel like we've gotten the scoop on CBD. I can't think of any other questions that I have as sort of a novice or beginner CBD user or anyone else. So any last words you want to share, and where should people go next if they really want to work with you or get started with CBD?
I can't really think of too much else. I'll say if people want to learn more, we'll link to a webinar that I just did with my friends at AMA Healing. It was a really excellent hemp company. And what we did is we actually went through the co-founder of that company. We went through his genetics with the test that I created and looked piece by piece at what you can see in terms of a genetic analysis in terms of your response to CBD and other cannabinoids and really how to optimize them for your body. So if you're interested in that, and that's you know, interesting, we'll put a link to that webinar. You can kind of see all of the things that you can learn and get a little bit more precise information about how your body might respond to it. And then if you're interested in just talking to me or learning more about what I do in terms of nutrition, genetics, and other things like that, you can go to my website, david-krantz.com, and check out what I do there.
Awesome. Well, we'll put a link to that where it's easy for everyone to find the webinar that you mentioned, as well as to your website. So thank you so much, David. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I appreciate your time and thanks for sharing your wisdom with us here.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure, and appreciate just the platform to talk about this stuff. It's always good to spread it to more people and help people find the right things for them.
Thanks so much for tuning in, everyone. We'll catch you again here next week. Look for the show notes below wherever you're listening to this episode or on our website, revolutionoilspodcast.com. Thanks again for tuning in. And in the meantime, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.